Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Things are a little bit different this week. We had Is This Romantic on Wednesday for Valentine's Day. Today is going to be more of your listener questions, but today's listener questions brought to you by our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. The Magic for Less is a platinum earmarked agency, which means that Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. Their guests love them, and they give them outstanding feedback after their experiences. And those agents are out there getting training. They know the destinations. They know how to get you in a great resort, a great reservation package, because they're passionate Disney fans who are trained to the highest level. So when it comes time for that next Disney vacation, whether it's to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or even Adventures by Disney, drop by themagicforless.com first. Check out all the great information while you're there. Fill out that free, no obligation quote form and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. We sure appreciate that. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. As you do your online shopping throughout the year, please bookmark our page. It's the easiest way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. Costs you absolutely nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits. Everything happens exactly the same. We just get a little kickback from Amazon to help support the show, pay for the bandwidth, the hosting, and all that good stuff, and it really does help support us. So again, as you do your online shopping, please use our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1290 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. Thanks for coming back, hopefully, after Is This Romantic? I know that we were goofing on Wednesday, but we have a good time, and thanks everybody who submitted some scenarios there for that, and hopefully we gave you a good laugh. And really, I mean, Walt Disney World is a very, very romantic place, and maybe we gave you just a couple ideas for your next trip. Maybe not. Maybe things to avoid, you know. Great discussion on lazy rivers. Are they romantic? So if you missed Wednesday's show, go back and check that out. But today we're here to answer your listener questions since we missed that on Wednesday. So joining me to do just that, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. And Ricky, how were those lobster tails? Were they better than Red Lobster?
I'm here now, so hopefully that means that everything was good.
The thing about food poisoning this year is that you could just blame it on that killer flu. You know what I'm saying? Like, the flu's bad this year, so you really, you know, I guess bad food is kind of just flying under the radar this year, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, let's hope that I'm okay.
We'll cross our fingers. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, residing up in Pennsylvania. We have Pam Forrester. What's up, Pam?
Happy Friday, which just seems so weird because we're doing a question show.
I know. It feels weird.
Like it should be a Wednesday.
And so it's a 3-day weekend for a lot of people, not for, you know, you and I. You know, Wednesday or Monday will probably be a busier day for us, but a lot of folks get the holiday off on Monday, you know, to get those cupcakes, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, there might be a cupcake rush. I'm just saying. So, I mean, whatever. But here we are. We're, you know, so if you're confused, we're confused too. But hopefully we'll get through this together.
That's right. The ad read will be all screwed up. I promise you, because I'm a robot. That's how it goes. So we'll see what we do. All right. First question today comes from Jacob. He says, hey, BOGP crew, we are in the initial stages of planning our annual Disney trip, and we're needing help selecting a resort, as this used to be the easiest part of our planning, where we stayed at the Polynesian for the last 15 plus years in a row. We're now in a pickle because our typical party of five is now a party of seven, four adults and three kids, who are 4, 2, and 2 months. We now have outgrown a single room there, and two rooms is looking outside of our budget. Our main reason for the Polynesian is the easy access to the Magic Kingdom. We spend 70% of our time there during our Walt Disney World stay, and the ease of getting to and from the Magic Kingdom with kids made this a no-brainer. We are entertaining other resorts now and have looked into two rooms at Wilderness Lodge, since it's just a boat ride away from the Magic Kingdom. Convince me that Wilderness Lodge is a great option, or what other Magic Kingdom area resorts that cost less than two rooms at the Poly? Thank you, and I'll hang up and listen. I've always wanted to say that. That's hilarious. He's a longtime listener, first time caller, I'm sure, too, by the way. Yeah. I don't know that, but I've always wanted to say that myself. So there you go, Jacob. I did it right with you. All right. So, and I get it. You know, as times change, you kind of have to, as the family grows, you have to look at different style accommodations. But they really like being on the monorail loop. They like the ease of getting to the Magic Kingdom. He said 70% of their time is spent at the Magic Kingdom. I like the idea of looking at the Wilderness Lodge. It's a great resort. It's easy access, almost just as easy, honestly, probably as easy as the Polynesian with the boat ride. But I would say to possibly look at booking maybe a villa, you know, because that might be cheaper than two rooms at the Polynesian. I don't know, Pam, this is kind of right up your alley. This is like in your lane. So what would you say to look at, just to explore for Jacob?
So absolutely, I think look at two rooms at the Wilderness Lodge, because I think that's a good choice, and I think the transportation is there. Another thing you may want to consider is looking at two rooms at the Contemporary in a garden wing. Sometimes those are available and not quite as pricey as the rooms at the Polynesian. And I, you know, completely understand the bind that you're in. It does get pricey. So consider one of those too. Another thing that you may want to look at is, now this is going to put you not as convenient in terms of transportation, but look at two rooms even at a moderate. That may be something that you could consider, and it's definitely going to bring the price down a little bit. Look at any of the moderate resorts would be a good choice, and see if something like that appeals to you and your family. It really is all about what appeals to your family and you in that space. And you just have to kind of, you know, pick out what's really the most important thing. And then that kind of helps narrow down your choices.
Yeah, here's what I think. You know, I think like it's kind of like one of those things. It's really, really hard to step out of your comfort zone, you know, because they're really sure in it. You know, I mean, saying 15 plus years at the Polynesian, they know the place, you know, like they know exactly what they're getting. They have the traditions there. They have the memories there. But and I could see where it'd be a little scary saying, OK, we're going to try to go to two rooms at, say, Riverside and give it a shot. But the thing is, I really believe this about Disney, because I have the same problem a lot of times. You know, I like to go back to my favorite places that I'm comfortable with, that I have memories with. But if you've listened to the show over the past almost 10 years, you know, when I go to a resort, typically when I get back, it all of a sudden becomes my favorite Disney experience. I love those new experiences. And while it might be hard to go from a deluxe right on the monorail loop to a moderate, there may be things there that you explore that you really, really enjoy. Of course, you're not going to have the ease of transportation to the level of getting to the Magic Kingdom on a monorail or a boat, but there's trade-offs. And you have a boat to Disney Springs, which you might spend more time there because you're closer to that. The bus rides aren't terrible. And if you know, you could use Uber and things like that if you don't want to take the buses. Pam, I think you bring up a good point. It would be initially you're thinking, oh, I don't want to have to take that kind of step down. But I mean, everything's kind of a trade-off. And I think that, you know, money-wise, it would make sense. But also, I mean, you get a different experience.
You do. And sometimes a different experience is an exciting experience, I will say. I mean, of course, you know, you're familiar with, you know, what you know, and that's always something that so many of us are drawn to. But trying something new is also really exciting at times. So consider that.
All right, let's get to the next question. Ricky, here we go. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, our extended family has booked a Disney cruise for August of 2018 to celebrate my mom's 80th birthday and my husband's 60th birthday. There will be a total of 9 of us on this cruise. What types of special things are available on the cruise for birthday celebrations? I know that in the parks, they could each get a birthday button and would receive birthday wishes from cast members throughout the visit. Can we expect that type of magical experience on a cruise? Or are there special activities that we can book for the celebration? What types of things have you heard mentioned by your clients that were done on a cruise to make the celebration special and make for extra special memories? All right, so she has one other question. So let's stop there. Ricky, what advice would you give for this is mom celebrating 80th birthday, husband celebrating 60th. How can you really make those celebrations stand out on a Disney cruise?
Well, absolutely. You can totally get a birthday button. I've done this before. So just go to guest relations and you'll be able to get a button. And make sure that you put on the reservation that it is, you know, you're celebrating birthdays. You know, sometimes that will end up having you get a special treat on one of the nights. So just keep that in mind, too. But, you know, I would really look at making sure the special thing that I would do is making sure that they, that those two individuals get to pick out the thing that gets done on an excursion. Does that make sense? Like, so they get to do something that they want to do on one of the excursions. And I think that that would help to make it even more special. Or of course you can do a dinner at Remy, which is fantastic. Let me just tell you. So that's an option too.
Yeah, I would definitely do a Paolo or Remy dinner, because that's going to be a special experience. It's not just the meal. It's the overall show of it, you know, like you look forward to it, and it's a special thing. And especially, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Paolo brunch. If you can squeeze that in, that's always a great option that everybody's going to get something that they rave about when they walk out, because it's kind of you know, a la carte, where you can order off a menu, but it's also kind of a buffet. Great desserts, but you know, any Remy or Paolo for anything, brunch or dinner, is going to be amazing. Another thing that I would say is to look at things like, because I love the intimate things, and a lot of these things kind of max out at like a group of 20, like the tastings, or the like, they have specialty classes or even bridge tours. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe her husband's really into, you know, seeing the mechanics of how the ship works. I think everybody is kind of curious about that. You know, go on that with him. You know, you don't have to take the whole group of 9 for everything. You know, just if your husband's into that, schedule the bridge tour. Do one of those. If her mom, say, for example, really enjoys bingo, you know, there's bingo. Go to bingo with her. You know, you don't, even though it's a group of 9, I don't think everybody has to stick together for everything. Really, like you said, Ricky, kind of suit the interest of the birthday person celebrating and have a good time, but also do a lot of things as a group of 9 too, because that's kind of why you're there.
Absolutely.
All right, yep. Pam, what else? What are we missing here? Because they do have the birthday buttons, so make sure you're wearing that, but what else?
They do have the birthday buttons, and actually you can have your agent go ahead and let them know. They typically will ask you what night you want to celebrate so-and-so's birthday. So you could even pick different nights for each of them. And typically what they do is bring out a little special dessert, a cupcake or something else like that, for the person celebrating, and they do a little singing. So that's always fun too. Love stuff like that. I love the ideas that Mike and Ricky had for, you know, letting each person pick something that they want to do. There are so many activities on a Disney cruise that there is going to be something that appeals to each one of you. And I think that's really important to have them find that special thing. And the other thing I would do is make sure that they pick some kind of souvenir. It could be big or small, it doesn't matter, that helps them remember the trip. I mean, you always want to take something home to help you remember each trip. But I think in particular, when you're celebrating something, you want to make sure that you take something home, and you can always look at it and be like, oh yeah, that was from that trip, and make sure you do that too.
They make it easy with the Tiffany's on the ships now, right? they're going to give you something to remember. So anyway, kind of going along with that idea, her second question is this. She's also, the 9 of us are going to be in 4 different staterooms. I want to pre-buy the digital photo package, as that seems to be the best approach for the pictures taken by the Disney photographers during the cruise. Is it possible to link all 4 staterooms so that we can all be on the same package? Thanks so much for all you do on the podcast to bring a little Disney magic into our home 3 times each week. Lorraine's in Smithfield, North Carolina. So, Pam, we know that with Memory Maker, you can link through friends and family, and everybody can kind of share that Memory Maker. That's kind of one of the worst kept secrets in Disney history. And it makes sense. I mean, everybody gets a better value out of it. But how does that work with different staterooms on a Disney Cruise Line ship?
So on a Disney Cruise Line ship, unfortunately, you can't share one photograph package for you and your family. It just doesn't work that way. It actually goes on it goes on your stateroom number. So it's only people who are in your stateroom that get to use the same photograph package. I'm sorry about that, because I realize it really would save you some money. And so it's just not possible.
Yeah, it's a shame. If you're sailing with Disney Cruise Line, you can check out the details at mycruisephotos.com. So you can save a little money if you book it before your cruise too. So you want to do that. If you know you're going to buy all the pictures, you can buy a package and get a discounted rate before your cruise. So again, mycruisephotos.com. All right, next question is from Courtney. Morning, BOGP crew. My husband, son, and I will be headed to Disney for a short week at the end of June and hoping we don't melt. My husband is attending a conference, so it will be just myself and my 4.5-year-old son heading to the parks. Here are my questions. Number 1, We have an 8 a.m. reservation at Garden Grill on our Epcot day, and the park is scheduled to open at 9. Is it feasible to eat, ride Soarin', then head over to Test Track for a ride without too long of a wait? All right, so they got an 8 a.m. Garden Grill. They want to do the meal, Soarin', and Test Track without it getting too crazy crowded. Ricky, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, 8 a.m., I mean, I think it's relatively doable.
I would 100%. Assume. Yeah, because, I mean, the thing is, you're going to be done eating by 9, and you're going to be able to do Soarin' probably, you know, rope drop it.
Right there, it's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably out there by 9:15. You're at Test Track by 9:20. Easy. Easy peasy, yeah. I think. All right, yeah. number two, she says, my son is 40 inches, and when we were there in December, couldn't ride either of those attractions. He loved the roller coasters. We could ride last trip, so I'm assuming he'll love these, especially Test Track. Do you think Soarin' will be fun for a kid this age, or should we skip it and go straight to Test Track? Just trying to plan out our morning and try to minimize waiting with a Disney-loving kiddo and mom. Thanks so much. Courtney is in Marietta, Georgia, approximately 22 miles from Ricky, and she says, go Jackets. So I guess maybe she's, I don't know. Oh, I guess she's a Georgia Tech fan, right? I guess that'd be. All right. So anyway, I would say the kid would love Soarin'. I mean, it's cool. I mean, you're up there like floating around and riding on a hang glider. I think that's sweet.
Yeah. Go ride Soarin'. He's going to love it. Absolutely. 100%.
Totally. Yeah. Especially if he rides roller coasters. Piece of cake, man. But he'll love it. It's a cool perspective. All right. Next is Liz in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, 230 miles away from Pam. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. We finally booked a trip and are headed back to the world in August of this year. I just made our ADRs and managed to get all the places we were hoping for. We have the deluxe Disney dining plan, and we're hoping to do quite a few signature and buffet meals. But we're going to be eating at Yak and Yeti on one of our first nights there. I cannot believe they named a restaurant with the word yak in it. I know I'm such a sixth grade boy. I'm still like a sixth grade boy when it comes to that. But like I know you can probably hear me trying to hold back the laugh there every time I read that. Anyway, back to Liz's question. I noticed on the menu that there's some appetizers that are listed for two people. Do you know if we can still get these using the dining plan? For instance, would my sister and I just be able to split the dim sum basket? Is that how you say it? Dim sum? Dim sum. Okay, so thanks for all your help and injecting some magic into every week, Liz. All right, so Pam, they're on the deluxe Disney dining plan. Some appetizers for two. Can they get that with the dining plan?
I believe you have to, it would account as your appetizer for both people. And of course, this is something that Disney doesn't actually put on their written material for this. You have to ask at each restaurant. And of course, I'm sure it's dependent on
subject to change.
Yes. So dependent upon many factors, but yes, most restaurants do typically allow that.
You know what? And it's sometimes dependent on your server with that stuff, as I recall. You know, sometimes like, oh, well, why not? You know, some of those things are so random. You just don't know what you're going to get. Speaking of Forrest Gump. All right, that's me. All right, Jen's up next. Hi, Mike and ladies. Love the show. I've been listening since 2015 when we were planning our first Disney vacation. Thanks for all the great advice. Well, thank you for being there with us, Jen. We appreciate that. We are very excited to have booked a March 2019 cruise on the Fantasy out of Port Canaveral. We want to stay at a Disney resort the night before we sail and at a different resort the day we disembark. We will not be going to the parks. What suggestions do you have for resorts for the one night stay that have lots to do and are close to fun activities? We have only ever stayed at the Polynesian. We have two boys who will be 7 and 12 years old. Also, we'll be taking a 10-day trip this August and with a split stay at Beach Club and Animal Kingdom Lodge. And would like to try something different. Thanks, Jen. She's in Allentown, Pennsylvania. All right, so skip. Okay, so throw out Beach Club. Throw out Animal Kingdom Lodge because they're going to stay there in August.
Throw out Polynesian.
Yeah, throw out Polynesian. So we're thinking here. So, you know, here's what this is what I've done on cruises. And I know this is kind of dumb. I like to get in that state of mind. I'm a thematic kind of person. I think this is why I'm really drawn to Walt Disney World. I have stayed at Caribbean Beach the night before a cruise because, you know, you got that cruising vibe at Caribbean Beach. Now, right now is probably not a good time to do that, but in the past it was. I've also stayed at Old Key West before a cruise the night before because, again, that's kind of the cruise feel. It's got the steel drums playing all the time. It just kind of looks cruisy. What would you say, Ricky? Give her some ideas before and after. And the boys are 7 and 12. Give them something to do because they're not going to the parks.
No, they are not. So I'm going to suggest Fort Wilderness because I think that there's a lot of activities for people to do, especially two boys. So I think that that's a really good option. And then, oh man, I think that I was thinking like, I know that they're staying at the beach club, but I was thinking like the boardwalk. You know, they can, I know that they'll be able to go to the boardwalk. They'll be able to walk to the boardwalk when they're staying at the beach club, but I think there's something kind of nice about actually just staying there too. So
good thoughts. Mm. Yeah. The boardwalk has a lot going on. And plus, I mean, yeah. you have an energy there being so close to Epcot and the studios, even though you're not going in. I mean, the thing is when you're going on a Disney cruise, like you can kind of be like, oh, well, I get it that I'm not going to the parks. You know, we're here for the cruise. This is just like gravy, you know, staying at a Disney resort. Pam, right. Anything else you would throw in there for them to think about for a resort post and pre-cruise?
So I would, you know, I think that there are so many great resorts at Walt Disney World. This is the thing that's really hard for me to choose, but I'm going to actually put out there, I know no beach club, but how about the boardwalk? You know, I think that that's a good location, such a great location, period. You know, you have to think about that. And then the other one I wanted to give a shout out to is also, how about Coronado? Those new rooms are fantastic, and it would be worth checking them.
Totally. And that pool's sweet, too. The boys would love that pool. The pool's awesome. All right, next question comes from Pete. He says, avid listener, love the latest episode on the Disney dining plans. I always tell people that the plans are worth it if for no other reason to have most of your food prepaid before you leave. I also feel the mug is a subtle selling point, and I have a good selection of mugs to enjoy my coffee in the morning. I live in North Carolina, but was raised in Central Illinois and spent many of my summer nights listening to Jack Buck and Mike Shannon go Cards. Pete, you are a kindred spirit because I have grown up with Jack Buck and Mike Shannon on my staticky Camel X radio. It is like a 7-year-old, 8-year-old all the way through my life. So totally get that. So Pam, what do you say? I mean, I've always said one of the biggest things for the dining plan is that it turns my Walt Disney World vacation akin to an all-inclusive type thing where it's like a cruise. And he mentions, you know, the refillable mug. You know what? I always wish I had it when I'm not on the dining plan because I'm like, I never get it if I'm not because I'm like, you know, that's money I don't need to spend. But I probably end up buying enough sodas that I should have bought it anyway. I mean, what do you say to Pete's ideas here?
Yeah, I agree. My daughter is one who loves the pomegranate lemonade at Walt Disney World. And she could make money on the refillable mug the first day that we're there, I think. I'm just saying, because she just loves it. She really, truly does. And we did that whole show last week on just, you know, how the dining plan can be such a great option. And I think that's the thing that makes the dining plan, you know, something that people should really look into, is that there are so many different ideas about how to use it and how to maximize it that I really think you might be missing out if you aren't given it a second look.
I agree. All right. Next one's from Beth. Hi, podcasters. I purchased an annual pass for my son and myself for the first time because we have two trips planned this year. Woohoo! I was looking at the pass holder discounts on Disney's website to see that you need to present a pass holder card to get discounts. What is the pass holder card and how do I get one? I purchased our premium annual passes on the Disney site a few weeks ago and linked them to our My Disney Experience, but I haven't received any card or anything in the mail. Thanks in advance for your help, Beth. All right, Ricky, walk Beth through how this works when you have to prove that you're an AP holder when you get an AP discounted room.
Yeah, so basically, a lot of times you'll get mailed a green card that will serve as what you take to the parks to get your actual annual pass. Now, that's not what I'm talking about, but I just wanted her to know that she is going to potentially likely get that. The card that they're actually talking about is your actual physical annual pass. So when you go to a restaurant or you go want a discount at a store or whatever, or even for the resorts, they will ask to see your annual pass and a valid photo ID just as proof that you are who you say you are. So That's pretty much it. Now, I know she sent another backup email about wanting to know how that works with her son, if he was 9, if he would need another pass, you know, too. And it would work the same way. Again, it's going to be his annual pass, so you'll be fine.
Okay, so for those people that have annual passes, let me throw this to Pam and get her thoughts on this. So what do you get? You get this, like, it's like a little credit card, and it says annual pass holder, and then they have you sign the back. Okay, so you sign the back. Your picture's not on it. I mean, Pam, they use this for, like, evidence you have an annual pass, like, all the time for, like, discounts and, like, you know, everything Ricky just said is exactly right. But, I mean, this is, like, the most insecure. Like, seriously, my Civic Center card in the city of Florissant is 10 times more secure. Like, are they really? Because they're like, oh, well, I need to see your ID and your annual pass. I mean, that thing is, like, I mean, anybody could have that thing. I mean, do you not agree that, like, I don't get that system. It's kind of weird.
I have to agree with this. There are a few things that kind of make you scratch your head. First of all, that if you, if it's on your magic band,
right,
you are an annual pass holder. Why in the heck isn't that enough? Because they're worried that so many folks will
borrow a magic band.
And... yes, like, I'm going to give my magic band to someone, I don't know, to let them enter the park so that they can get my discount at wherever, fill in the blank.
Well, it's so funny.
Maybe
because
that's the thing that's running rampant. I don't know. Maybe. The only thing I can think of is the reason why they need your ID is to check your signature, like, to make sure the signature is the same.
But like, my signature, okay, is like
this
chicken
is actually
scratch.
Their card, and then the ID has your picture, right, on it. So then they can make sure, oh, well, this is this person then, clearly. So yeah. I guess. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of is that they're really checking your signature matches the signature on your DA, which then they can match your face.
That is probably the chain of, like, custody there to make sure things are cool. But I mean, like, my signature's
so
chicken scratch.
So what if it gets challenged? Exactly. So what if it gets challenged? Do we have a lot of signature experts there that are cast members as well? I mean, I see, you know, judges who often say, I am not a signature expert. You know what I mean? I'm not a handwriting expert, so I don't feel qualified to do that. And you can look at my signature. I don't know. I'm just, you know.
Oh, the P scribble definitely can look different.
The P scribble looks different all the time.
Yeah, it does.
Every time I have to present that thing, I just kind of crack up a little on the inside. Like, seriously, like, this is just something that, you know, like, you got with your Fisher Price set when you were, you know, 3. Like, you know, you have those little, like, plastic coins. I mean, it's akin to that. Anyway, so one other thing I will say about that, you know, if you want to pull off the ultimate dad joke, all of it, and I do this, like, every time we go out to eat, and we go out to eat quite a bit, I keep my annual pass right next to my credit card. And
oh,
then
my
every
gosh,
time...
if you say that, that's the same thing. No.
Yes. So, like, we go to Texas Roadhouse, I'm like, oh, man, I got to check and make sure I get my AP discount. Oh, wait, I don't get it here. Oh, Las Fuentes, I got to make sure I get my AP. Oh, I don't get it here either. Dang.
Here's what Brian will do. Brian will do where they ask to see his photo ID for, you know, when he gets a beer or something, and then he will show his annual pass. And I'm like, you are so dumb.
That's why I love Brian, boy. He's a good guy. Yeah, no, that's funny.
I have to snap and be like, I am so sorry to the waiter or waitress. It's like, I'm sorry.
If you have kids, man, it's a great way to horrify them. You know, you get because you got to get your money's worth out of that AP.
Your wife.
Exactly, your wife too.
You. Yes.
Whatever
yes.
It takes. You got to get your money's worth. And that's just another way you can get a. That's one of those things Disney doesn't mention that you can use that for. Anyway, Matt, here we go. This is kind of a controversial question here. Matt says, hey, gang, I was wondering what are your go-to spots to watch Happily Ever After, Star Wars Galactic Spectacular, and Illuminations. I want to know where you would stand if you didn't have a dining package or a fast pass. Thanks. Matt's up in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. All right, so we're going to give... Okay, so I really don't have... To be honest, I'm not playing either. I don't have a go-to spot. It's kind of like I go to all different places for all three of these shows. I will say the best spot that we have found, I think we all agree, for Star Wars fireworks is to be, there's like two pillars about, you know, that you're going to stand between. And that's about the right spot to see the fireworks combined with the projections. You got to stand right between those two pillars and they're real tall. They have sound equipment on them at the studios. Illumination's probably my overall favorite place to watch. Oh, man, I'm trying to think. I enjoy watching it from Canada. It depends on the wind because you don't want the smoke coming over and getting you, especially when it's hot in the summer and it's all sticky and humid. But I enjoy Canada up on the rail. That's a good spot. And I also enjoy Italy for a different perspective. So those are my two. Happily Ever Afters is kind of wherever I find it. Same for Wishes back when it was happening. So, Ricky, do you kind of have a go-to that's a better place that you want to give away today?
I'm like you, Mark. I don't have a go-to. Illuminations, I have done Norway a lot. I think that's a good location. Star Wars, exactly where you said. Actually, I'm a little bit forward of the pillars a lot of times, but I find that's a really good spot because everybody seems to be crowding like back behind you on the boulevard. But it's just always a better view. I can always find a spot even if I'm coming up last minute. Like I can always get in there because I think that everybody's back behind me. And then as far as Happily Ever After goes, I mean, I think you have to be on Main Street. I'm usually where the circle starts, where it starts to become the hub, the circular part of the hub is usually where I start to stand.
I'll say too, one of the things to think about with Star Wars fireworks is that you kind of, it's a balancing act because there are effects in the trees, when the Emperor comes, spoiler if you haven't seen it, but you want to be able to see some of the stuff. The trees are actually a part of the show, but also you don't want to be so far back that the trees are blocking the fireworks because the fireworks aren't centered over the old Chinese theater. Now they're kind of offset, kind of between they're kind of over like where the Toy Story building is right now. So you got to kind of take that into effect. So, Pam, what do you say to these spots for fireworks?
Well, so I'll round it out and say I don't have a spot that I have to stand a lot of times because, we didn't plan in advance. And a lot of times because we were doing something right up to when the fireworks were starting.
Right.
I love seeing Happily Ever After right there at the Magic Kingdom, right where we described. You can move a little closer sometimes to that hub area, and that works well. Love seeing them there. But I have to say, if I'm going to pick a favorite spot, it might be at the California Grill, just saying that. And then for illuminations, lots of good places. But for me, because I've seen them so many times, any place I can roll up to about 5-10 minutes before is my new favorite place. Absolutely will say that. Give some nods, though, in particular to... this is the nighttime show that you can get a fast pass for, Illuminations, can still get. And I think that's a great location, especially if you're planning on spending the day in Epcot. Why not use one of those fast passes at night for Illuminations? Lord knows there's not that many other choices in Epcot for your Fast Pass Plus. Once you pick your tier one, but it is a tier one, yeah. But so if you have another day, think about that. So Illuminations there. And then for Star Wars, we've actually walked. There are some, just to give a little different spot to watch from, there are over at Men and Bills, there are some seating there. There's some seating there that has a decent view. And guess what? A seat. And sometimes a seat means that location, while not super ideal in viewing, it gets a huge bonus points for keeping you off your feet for a little bit and still getting to see the show. So
also you can have a snack too.
That's right. A seat and a snack. Seat and a snack might be the winner all day long. So anyways. Great. Think of some of those locations.
Yeah, the force is strong when you have a seat and a snack. I'm just saying. It's
especially if you're on day four of your
yes.
trip, too.
Yes.
You're like, please.
Oh, good gracious. All right. Jessica's got the next question. She says she's our friend from the north, all the way in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. She says, question for the podcast, and the title is Magic Kingdom Extra Magic Hours. She says, I'm getting ready to go to a trip to the world in April. Earlier, when I would look at the park hours, there were evening extra magic hours scheduled for the Magic Kingdom on Wednesday, April 25th. Now there are none for the Magic Kingdom that day. When I look at the rest of the month, it seems every Wednesday there are extra magic hours in the evening at the Magic Kingdom, then none on the week I will be there. Any idea why this would be? Thanks, Jessica. All right, Ricky, do your Scooby-Doo sleuthing here. What happens when all of a sudden an extra magic hour evening at the Magic Kingdom disappears? What do you think's happening?
Oh, Well, that could be a number of things. I'm trying to see. I'm actually trying to pull up now to see if maybe it was a glitch, which it very well could have been, knowing Disney. It could be that they have a special event that maybe is happening. I mean, it could be a number of things, and we really don't know. My bet is if it's just one day out of the rest of it, that it's a glitch. But, I would check back again as you get closer to double check. But, I don't know 100% why maybe it's not showing up unless it's a glitch or something.
That's exactly what I'd say. It's either a glitch or it's a special event that they schedule. Because they do that sometimes. You know, they'll close the park and do something after hours. And so no extra magic
hours. Which would affect when the extra magic hours were taking place. So,
yep. Yeah. All right, next question is from, let's see here. It's from, let's see, you can pronounce it like Mary, adding a Z at the end, Mary's. She says, see here. So, hello, team. I'm one of those new listeners who has to catch up on 10 years of the podcast. Well, take it easy. Take it easy. We're going to be here for a while, so you got plenty of time. I ran into your podcast because I'll be running my first Run Disney event next fall for the Wine and Dine. I'm pretty excited about that. If everything goes according to plan, I should run the 5K with my 13-year-old daughter and the half by myself. I have a few questions. Hope you can help. I would like you guys to challenge the scenario I have in mind and tell me if it's right or wrong. I would like to live the full Disney experience during the 5K. No pressure on a time whatsoever. Photo stops with the characters, selfies, and everything. I don't want to run fast as I'll be saving my energy for the real deal 2 days later. Just having a blast with my daughter. For the half, though, without going for a specific time, I would like to run it more seriously without getting too involved with all the animation and everything. Having fun, maybe a photo or two, but trying to have a good run. Thoughts? Okay, so that's her first part. For somebody that's run a lot of the Run Disney events, that's exactly what you do. The 5Ks to me, because I've done a lot of Run Disney events, they mean different things to different people. But I look at the 5Ks as a goof off. You know, it's like, this is where you're going to, especially when you're doing like a challenge or you're doing more than one race in a weekend. That's a great time to grab all the photo stops you want to get, because sometimes the characters are repeated on the longer distances. And so you get them done during the 5K. You don't have to worry about getting swept. Just have a great time, you know, dance with some of the dancers that are along the route as you're running or walking or whatever it is. But that's exactly it. Save yourself for the long run, especially if you're somebody, sounds like she's kind of a serious runner and you want to run for a decent, you know, have a good run during the half marathon. Save your legs, goof, and have a good time on the five. So I think she's exactly right there. Second question, I know how to Disney. I went there a few times already, but I don't know how to run Disney. How do you plan your days in the parks after the events? What would be a typical perfect day for you? You run, get your medal, go back to the hotel, take a shower, and then what? Do you nap during the morning? Do you hit the parks as soon as you can? Take a break in the afternoon? At what time can you start booking fast passes to be sure you'll make it on time? You probably went through that 100 times already, but I'm new. I wish you a wonderful day. Thanks for your help. Maurice, and I hope I said that right, Maurice, thanks so much for the email. Thanks for joining the podcast family. Love to have you there, and you're going to have a great, great first Run Disney experience. For a second question, what I do typically is we'll get up, you know, you get up super early for the half marathon, usually about 2:30 or 3 in the morning, get on the bus, go to the race, run the race, get your medal, have a good time, take lots of pictures during the race, even though you're running it for time, still have fun with it. Then I typically grab my little, they give you a snack box. I'll snack on that on the bus on the way back to the hotel. Like you said, grab a shower, change clothes, and then I just hit it. Because for these Run Disney weekends, you're there for such a short amount of time. You kind of want to maximize it. You don't want to take a nap. I will take a nap like when we're doing carousel. I power nap. Carousel of Progress, boom, nap. Laugh Floor, boom, nap. You know, whatever we're on that I can take a nap for like 20 minutes, I'll do that throughout the day. I will also schedule some fun meals to celebrate, but also carry your medal around and make sure you're getting your medal in front of Cinderella Castle or in front of Spaceship Earth. You know, that's a fun thing, and you'll have two of them. So bring both of them. Bring the 5K and the half. That makes for great pictures. Also, go to PhotoPass photographers and get your picture with them, because they give you creative shots. With your medals. They really love embracing the Run Disney runners. Let's see what else. Just go, I say. You know, that's what I do. Ricky, what do you do when you run like a five or a half or something like that? Because you've done that a couple times. So advice for like continuing on the day after the race.
Yeah, so I mean, I would, if it's leading up to the day leading up to the race, obviously I would, you know, get off your feet a little bit earlier than you maybe would normally, but the day after the race, yeah, I'm going. Like it's on. I absolutely brought my medal into the parks, got lots of pictures with that. But I did the parks like it was a normal day after, you know, and yeah, you're going to be tired at the end of the night, but you just keep going because you got that Disney magic in you at that moment. So I think that's what I end up doing usually when I do the races.
All right. Good advice. Let's get to the last question of the day. And it's from Matthew down in Centerville, Tennessee. He says, Mike, love the show. Longtime listener, first time emailer. Sorry, Alexa got turned on.
That was fun.
That was. I know. You got to watch what you say around here. All right. Let's see if we can turn this off here. I guess that's a... Alexa, hang up. Alexa, hang up. Okay, good. Sorry about that, everybody. It's one of the... I guess maybe I should get the dot out of the studio here. Anyway. Great. Love the show. Longtime listener, first time emailer. 10 years. There we go. Technology has come a long way to bug us even more. Our family is a frequent visitor to Walt Disney World, but one thing we have never done is participate in a Run Disney race. Look at this. We're closing out here with a lot of Run Disney talk. My wife and I, along with another couple, kids-free getaway, are hoping to run in the Walt Disney World Half Marathon next January. However, the more we've read online, the more we see how challenging it can be to actually get signed up for one of these races. Being the seasoned Run Disney veteran that you are, do you have any advice or encouraging thoughts for how we can make sure we get registered for that race? Thanks in advance, and thanks for the great work you do, Matthew. All right, so here's the deal. Good news and bad news. Okay, so I've registered for obviously many, many a race. It's kind of a nerve-wracking experience. You got to be ready. You got to watch the social media for when the window opens up, and you got to have like multiple devices ready to go. This is just what I do. I'm probably overkill. That's my kind of personality. So I'll have my desktop computer, a laptop, and maybe a mobile device like an iPad or an iPhone. I'm ready to go. One thing you want to do is sign up for an active.com account. I think that's still how they're doing it, as I recall, because I haven't registered since last year. But if you have an active.com account, you can sign those up ahead of time for free. That is always an advantage. So go to active.com, get an account, set it up, have all your login credentials ready to go. The good news is the fervor for Run Disney and the registrations has died down a bit compared to, say, 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I took off work the day to sign up for Dopey because it was crazy. Like, I mean, I was sweating bullets. Like, that's probably the most stressed I was throughout the entire year for anything I did was registering for Run Disney races. Now, you're probably going to get in the half marathon as long as you're there, say, in the first 5, 10, 15 minutes, probably the first day, to be honest. But just be there when it starts, and I think you're going to be fine. Ricky, I mean, what do you think? I mean, you got your finger on the pulse of these kind of things. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I think it's definitely slowed down a little bit. But as long as they're ready to go, and like you said, had the active account ready to go, too, I think they're going to be just fine. So... and I think that the registration happens in April this year for the marathon weekend. And don't quote me on it, but I think it's the 17th. I know I posted it on the Mouse for Less's marathon page, and I can't remember exactly 100% if it's that day, but I'm pretty sure I remember typing April 17th, but I do know it is April.
Yeah, I think it is April. So check it out and just, you know, go to RunDisney.com. Check out Run Disney on Twitter. And they have a Facebook page. Just, you know, be tuned in the weeks in advance and be ready to go, you know, at minute one. That's my best advice. If you're there, you're going to be in there. Now, if you decide, oh, I'm going to wait a month, you may still get in a month later. But, I mean, you may not, because the half marathon is a very popular distance. That's one of those that sells out quickly. You know, actually, they all pretty, you know, sell out quickly. But half marathon is a race a lot of people like to do. The marathon usually stays open the longest.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of, most people doing the marathon are going to do the Dopey or the Goofy for the, just lately. And most people aren't just going to run 26 on a whim either. So
except Brian.
Yeah. So there, we have a lot of lizards that did that. I can't believe it. You know, folks that went from 13 to 26, not this past year, but the year before because of the rain out. That was crazy. But God, love them. Love them. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks for all the questions. Please send them in more questions to us at mike@brguestpodcast.com. Today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. And Pam, real quick, remind people how they can still, because we have a few days left, lock into those old ticket prices, you know, as opposed to paying the new ticket prices. There is a way to kind of save a few bucks here in the coming week.
There is, and this goes until February 21st, so you must book your vacation before February 21st. But if you do, you can go ahead and book a package that has not the new ticket prices. It has the old ticket prices. This is just a period of time where Disney is still changing over their system, so you can go ahead and make those reservations now and lock in your pricing for 2018. The good news is it only requires a $200 deposit, and that will reserve your resort, your tickets and dining plan and other options if you so choose. So you can go ahead and request a quote today and we'll get that out to you.
There you go. Just drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free no obligation quote. Let them know you heard about it here on the show, and that agent will get back to you right away. And, you know, hey, I know that you're not going to save that money. You're just going to spend it on something else. But it's more fun on your trip. You know what? More Mickey bars or go on Keys to the Kingdom, whatever it takes. That's what we do. We're Disney fans. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, next week we're getting back to normal, guys. We're going to do Trip Report on Monday, questions on Wednesday. Friday will be a topical show. So I know this week's been a little crazy for all of us. It throws me off my game, too, so I get it. But, you know, people who listen to Listener Question Show are probably thinking they have to go to work tomorrow because it's Thursday. And it's not. So it's Saturday. Take it off. Chill. Have fun. All right. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe. And we'll see you real soon. Alexa, stop.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.